flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The writer here, under the inspiration of God, is talking about a people that one day will stand before God to be judged. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us, as it was appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered for the sins of men, telling us that as the appointment of judgment came upon all men, there was a time when Christ stood in that judgment for all that believe in Him, taking on Himself the punishment that you and I deserve for what we have done against God. But it only said that He did this for the sins of many, not for the sins of all. So there still remains a judgment for those that do not know Christ as their Savior. In the time of my ministry, which has been almost now 50 years, I have seen a change in the attitude of people, of God's people, toward those that know not Christ. I can remember times in my early ministry when I have seen mothers and fathers weep over their children that have been saved. I have seen people concerned deeply for the lost. I have seen churches that would put forth great efforts to invite people to come to revival services, even to come to Sunday services, for their heart would be burdened for those people and their eternal destiny. But that seems to have passed. And we as God's people do not seem to have the burden that we once had for the sinners. Very few seem to realize what really awaits those without Christ. Now I know this morning that there is nothing that is in my power to Only God can save. But I do know that God has given to us the responsibility to be a witness to all people. He said we are to warn the people of their wicked ways. And if we warn them not, then their blood will be charged to our hands. In other words, we have a responsibility to tell people about Christ, to tell them about their condition that they're living in, and tell them what awaits them when Jesus comes again. I don't know what the problem is. I can see that this nation was settled by a bunch of people that love the Lord. And they established things in this nation that would make it easier for God's people to be a warning for the lost. It was taught in the homes because the people that were settling this nation knew what was going to happen to those that didn't know Christ. This kept on, and we grew up with it. But now we have lost much of our foundation of people that love the Lord and the ones that care not for God and believe not in the eternal destiny. Dominate our society. There's very little taught in the homes about the coming of God, the coming of Christ, the punishment that awaits those without Jesus. So I want to take these few minutes this morning to remind you that are here today, if you've never come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to remind you of what awaits you in eternity. God does bring types of judgment upon society throughout all time, through the tragedies that have come, is God's judgment. Whether it be a tsunami, whether it be a hurricane, or whatever it might be, in the providence of God, is God's judgment. But the real judgment, the time when everything is settled, is yet to come. So I want to remind you this morning, Jesus will be back. Some say, well, preachers have been saying this for years and years and years. or reason why we need to be ready. Because the preachers have been preaching it for years, and they have. We're getting closer than we were before. We preach it because we are concerned about those that are lost. But then our Lord knew how people are. And He had the Apostle Peter to write to us and say, in the last days, which is from the time of Jesus on, in the last days, scoffers shall come. And they'll mock, and they'll say to the preachers that have been preaching for years that the Lord is coming back. They'll say, where is His coming? And they've been saying that for years. They've been saying it for generations.
Windows of hell.
But the thing is that no matter how long it takes, God's promise does come fast. God's people went down into Egypt. They stayed because the ground was fertile. Crops were good. They were treated well. But one day there came up a new Pharaoh. One that didn't know Joseph. He made slaves. And for 400 years, they prayed for deliverance. Every generation would pray unto God, Lord, get us out of Egypt. Get us out of slavery. And one day, the baby. Moses. He was wrong. God came to him and said, Moses, I want you to lead my people out. God heard your prayers for 400 years. You see, we don't set the time. He sets the time for us. He got his people out of Egypt. For thousands of years, it was prophesied. Savior. It was told to Adam and Eve, their seed, who bruised the head of Satan. And all through the Old Testament scriptures, generation after generation, was the promise of Zion. Would preach and say the Savior is coming. The Christ is coming. He did. After 4,000 years. The Bible says thank God. Jesus promised persecution would come. It did. He said false prophets will come. They have. He said people's hearts would grow cold. They are. You see, the war clouds gather. But still, some think there's no peace. Jesus is coming. Sin may get worse. But from the appointed time of God, we will hear the trumpet sound. We'll hear the shout of the archangel. We'll hear see sin must be paid for. He has already, as I told you in the beginning, He has already come and died on the cross for our judgments, for our sins. But the sins of all others of humanity must also righteous God cannot overlook not one sin. He will not overlook. Every wrong thing, every disobedience to God will be dealt with. You see people go on in their sin, and they have in some way or other painted themselves a picture of where it's not sin. Most people no longer consider themselves as sinners. Everything seems to be okay. Oh, the Word of God tells us that He is coming to seek vengeance on those that are lost. We see people go on in their life ignoring God, denying God. Seems the more they can do to go against God, and the more they can say against God, the braver they get. The more open they get. Oh, how brave will they be when Jesus comes. How brave will they be standing before a righteous God? Even in the days of His mercy and grace, when He was here on this earth, a group of men came to take Him prisoner. Go before their bars. And they came up to Him and His disciples at night. He said, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am He." They fell backwards. Even in the time of His mercy and grace, they couldn't stand in His presence. Oh, what about when He comes back in vengeance? We read in the book of Revelation where it says they cry for the rocks and the mountains fall. They cry and beg the time when the rocks will fall and cover them, and the mountains will bury them deep in the grave to hide them from the presence of God. Folks, you can't be healed. God's presence. Your cries will come too late. Then I'll point out one other thing. Their punishment will be forever. if there was a time when suffering could pay the debt of sin, that people could at that time be transferred from hell. But there is no such thing. It is not a separation from God for a while and suffering for a while, and God will say, well, that's enough. No. The condition we die in who we were. What God does. It's not like it was when we were children, and mothers and fathers disciplined us, whipped us maybe a little switch or a belt or something, and it was over. Won't be like that. It'll be forever. Some try to smooth it over. I've had people to say, and I've heard the expression, oh, if I go to hell, I won't be by myself. Well, that's true. That won't change anything because there's others there. People now in religion that's trying to convince people there is no hell. That's not a good reason. Jesus says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting. Depart from me into a fire that never ceases. A place where the smoke ascended up forever. A place where the worm died. Folks, there's no way that can paint for you a true picture. God has given us physical illustrations to illustrate to us the things of eternity. He has used the torment of fire. He has used other things to show us the reality of it. But nothing can really give us a good picture. I want you to know that it is not a place you desire. It is not a place where you will be comforted by the presence of others. It is not a place where through a process you'll get used to it. It's not a place where one day you'll get out. He says it is forever. We ought to have compassion. A feeling. A feeling of sorrow. A feeling of urgency to pray, to plead, and do everything we can to get the word of God through, as he said. We need to preach the gospel that we can preach. Preach it by word. Preach it by our life. It might become real. others, and pray that God might be merciful.